brought to you by Oklahoma Men's Clinic, the leader in men's health and sexual wellness.
Sports with Mark Rogers is brought to you by Bob Moore Ford, the hardest working trucks and SUVs in OKC. Experience exceptional and order today at bobmooreford.com.
So a friend of mine sent me a text this morning, and I don't know who's reporting this. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's purporting to say that the discussions between Oklahoma, Texas, and the Big 12 about departing early for the SEC have broken down, that they couldn't even get close to an agreement. And as it stands today, more likely to be 2025 than 2024. Have you seen these stories, and do you think it's legit?
Yeah, Pete Thamel from ESPN is the one that tweeted that out today. I think that's probably accurate, that's where the negotiation stands at this point. I don't think that that's going to keep them from stopping to try to get out of the league, but it is much easier, I think, for television to have the schedule have a cycle of 2 years, right? If the Big 12 loses Oklahoma and Texas, then they completely have to redo the schedule again for next year.
Right.
But for now, you have a two-year cycle of where you play home and home against the teams that are on the schedule this year, and then you can kind of go forward after that.
Yeah, that does make sense. I hadn't thought about that. I would think if the money was right, it wouldn't matter that much. They would reconfigure the schedule for it. But there is some logic to that. And that was rumored a long time as part of the reason why the schedule didn't come out earlier for the Big 12 this year, because they were trying to figure out how they were going to structure the schedule, because you weren't going to have a return visit specifically for those four teams that were coming into the league.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think also one of the big negotiation snafus here is that ESPN and Fox really have completely different agendas.
Right.
You know, Fox is going to lose Oklahoma and Texas the ability to put them on television if they are in the SEC. Fox doesn't broadcast games in the SEC. So I think they kind of have to have, as a partner of the Big 12, some concessions made to them. And I don't know, 1 year of rights fees, we would see. I think that to me, this is a surprising development. I've thought that they would have been able to get out potentially even this year and negotiate some kind of a deal, but it looks like the Big 12 is playing tough with them.
Well, if it's Pete Thamel that's reporting it, then it's more legit. The guy, my buddy that sent it to me, didn't attribute it to anyone. And I was like, well, this could be anybody on the internet claiming to be in the know. But he would be in the know. He would actually have sources to have some reporting on that. So that does make it much more legitimate.
Yeah. No, I think it's a legitimate report. And again, negotiations are always played out in the media, too. This is a possibility of it happening. I don't think it's what Oklahoma and Texas would want, but I think right now that's where it stands.
So the reserves for the All-Star teams were announced yesterday, and no surprise, SGA was in the mix. We all felt pretty confident that he was going to be. Were there any surprises in the lineups for you?
No, not really. I don't think so. I think that was about right. I mean, SGA, to me, would have been a surprise if he was left off. But, I think that when it's up to the coaches to select the reserves, they do a pretty good job of kind of vetting that, because it's a big deal.
Did you see your guy Dylan Brooks go full Draymond last night on Donovan Mitchell? I don't blame him.
Nice.
I would have tossed the ball at him, too. Now, they both got tossed out of the game, and I don't know if they've announced yet if they're going to be suspended. I assume that they will. They both got ejected out of that game. But I don't blame Donovan Mitchell. I would have, too. I mean, he flagrantly just tapped him in the sack.
He did. I mean, really hard. So I think that was I think I don't blame Donovan Mitchell for any kind of reaction there.
Let's see. What else in the Cavaliers wound up winning that game?
I did watch some of the Pro Bowl stuff last night.
Oh, really?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
Better than the fake game that they used to play?
Well, just last night, the competition kind of leading up to it, which was they had some dudes in a long driving contest, some of which had never played golf before.
Oh, that's
they
fun.
Had a dodgeball game, I thought was great. It was just pretty fun. It was pretty cool. They did a good job of packaging that up, and they had that,
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
They had the golden fairy dust from the Manning brothers.
Well, in the
emceeing it all.
The key to the whole thing is getting the players interested in actually participating. Because even this year, with the change, you still had players, specifically Justin Herbert, Josh Allen was the guy that opted out of the Pro Bowl so that he could go play golf at Pebble Beach, which I don't fully blame him for that. But I just don't think it matters. I don't think that these guys, I mean, it matters way more to be an All-Pro than it does to go to the Pro Bowl. If they could find a way to make it interesting and not risky for guys, then maybe. But I don't know how much. It'd be interesting to see how much the fans are going to tune in for this stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know either, but there's a huge void of NFL this week. I mean, we've had it every week since going back to August.
You know what's crazy about that?
Something to watch.
And I don't like the gap week, even though it's good for the teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl that they can get healthy before they go play. I just don't like this dead week. But there's been a surprising amount of stuff going on in the NFL this week. Lots of coach changes. Sean Payton finally got locked down in Denver. There's a lot of discussion about whether he's going to be able to revive Russell Wilson in Denver. I think if anybody was going to do it, he's probably the guy that could go in there and I mean, we saw what he did with Drew Brees. And I don't think Drew Brees was down. He certainly wasn't at the point in his career towards the middle part of his career. But the timetable of a quarterback in the NFL now, Russell Wilson, I think, is 33 or 34 years old, so it's not like he's at the end of his career.
Well, but the amount of money that's committed to him, I think that this is one of the better roads that the Broncos could take. Now, it's expensive for him, having to give up a first-round pick. They don't have a lot of picks anyway, but I don't know. They'd almost been better, I think, just to try to manage because and build for the future and hope they can kind of catch Mahomes and Herbert on a little bit of a downhill slide because it's you're in the division with the Chiefs who've had this great 5-year run and it doesn't look like they're going to have anything that's going to get in the way of it continuing with Mahomes and Kelce being in place and just kind of easy to build around those guys every year.
But if they could get a quarterback that's serviceable with the other pieces that they have in Denver, I mean, a year ago, everybody was saying all they need is a quarterback. Well, they got their quarterback, but they didn't have a coach, and it all completely went over a cliff. But if they could get a serviceable quarterback, and Russell Wilson has been a very good quarterback at times in his career, if they can help him recapture that, they could be a playoff team in the AFC. I don't know that they'll win that division, but they could be easily a playoff team in the AFC. It's way more stacked. It'd be easier if they were in the NFC, but I think it's still possible for them to be decent, even though they're in that tough division and they're in the AFC.
It's going to take a miracle, I think, to resuscitate Russell Wilson's career, but
I'll tell you this.
About as good a guy that could do it.
Out of everybody that talked about it, Sean Payton was the one guy that came to the table and said, these are the 5 or 6 things that I would do immediately to take some of the pressure off Russell Wilson and help him get back to where he was before. I didn't see any of the other coaching candidates that interviewed for that Denver job really talk about it. And Sean Payton, well, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding. But what he was saying seemed to be the right things. He seemed to have a very clear agenda of what he would do to go in there and try and fix that situation.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Not easy at all.
Let's run through a few of these NBA games from last night because there were some interesting results last night. The Lakers actually put together a game last night. They didn't blow them off the floor, but they wound up getting a 1-point win against the Indiana Pacers, and their guys actually look like AD and LeBron specifically look like they have the capacity to fix what's going wrong there. Not fix it to the point that they're going to be a top 4 seed in the West, but they could fix it to the point that they could get ready and maybe make a run in the playoffs.
LeBron got 26, so that puts him 63 away from breaking the record. That means he's going to have a pretty aggressive scoring pace.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We'll see what he does in New Orleans in their next game. And then on Tuesday night against Oklahoma City, it depends on whether or not he wants to go for it or not. I would think, again, TNT in the house, Milwaukee Bucks there, Giannis Thursday night, that's when the record gets broken. But we'll see how LeBron looks to go at it. If LeBron wanted to go for 50 against Oklahoma City, I don't know that there's much that the Thunder could do to stop him.
That's true. Well, and here's the opposite side of your argument about TNT being in the building, and I think you're right. I think that's the stage you want to do it on. But it's going to be at home, and they're going to want to shut the game down for 15 minutes and celebrate LeBron. And I don't know that – do you think that TNT is going to want them to do that?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
I mean, can you imagine the amount of eyes that are on it at that point? I mean, I think there are a ton of LeBron fans and Lakers fans out there. And, yeah, to have their guys there I think would be massive. I think that's clearly what they're hoping for.
Another one-point game. The other L.A. team, the Clippers, wind up losing by 1 point to the Bucks. But the Clippers are kind of quietly finding their footing.
Yeah, well, they've got the players now. Kawhi Leonard's playing them. That's a big deal to help them. But Giannis put 50 on him, 51, and played a big game. It looks like to me that Giannis has kind of been bored a little bit this year. He's reverted back to some bad habits. But I think Milwaukee's still really definitely a team in the East that could come out of that conference. But not a good game for Kawhi last night.
And that's the argument against the long season in the NBA is you've got guys that realize that they can do that. That, like, I can get bored in the beginning of the season and have some bad games, do some bad things, and if I really tune it up after the calendar turns or certainly at the All-Star break, then we're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
And listen, I like still think that if I was starting a team out of everybody in the NBA right now today, Giannis is the guy that I'm taking. I just think that his game is so much more complete than everybody else. Yeah, he's reverted to some bad decisions and bad habits this year, but I still think that everything he brings to the table, at least until he starts to decline, he's going to be the guy that I'm building around.
Yeah, and he's entering into the real prime of his career. He's only 28 years old. He just turned 28. I think that's a pretty good take.
The game that was surprising to me in the NBA last night was the Warriors-Nuggets game. Now, I said yesterday I thought this was a game that I had circled on the schedule as one that would really be worth watching. I had no idea that Denver would go in and just manhandle the Warriors the way that they did. The Warriors looked like they were kind of getting their act together, and Denver just gave them all they wanted last night.
Yeah, they won that game in Oklahoma City and then lost in Minnesota and then lost this one. That's not – it's not great for the Warriors. So I give credit to Denver. I mean, it wasn't a bad night for Golden State. The defense was what cost them. The Nuggets shot 57% from the field, which is, that's how you get 134 points in the game. So they had good shooting nights from really about everybody. And another great night from Jokic, who had 16 assists and 14 rebounds.
Yeah, he had a triple-double. I saw the number this morning of their wins when he has a triple-double, and it's just ridiculous. And then Jamal Murray threw 33 in. So, yeah, I mean, they're kind of getting it right at the right time, too. I didn't really believe in Denver, but I feel like they're kind of putting stuff together that they may be a team to watch in the West, especially Phoenix is not seeming to figure it out. The Clippers look like they could at times. The Grizzlies don't seem as scary as they seemed last year. And so I look at Denver and go, you know what? They really have the possibility, unless things change significantly after the All-Star break, and they might, because you could see some trades come down that are going to make a difference. But Denver may put themselves in a position that they could be the team to beat in the West.
Well, they are kind of separating themselves in the standings. I mean, they're putting some distance between second place, and they're 24-4 at home. So that gives them all the games at home. But the regular season and the playoffs are just really difficult to compare. But I think it'd be great to see some some new blood, obviously, in the playoffs. If a team like Denver can make the finals, that's really, really cool to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jokic is fun to watch. I mean, what I was saying about Giannis, Jokic is not that – he may not be behind him at all. I just am more of a believer in Giannis, and I enjoy him more than Jokic. Jokic is a little more lunch pail for me. But, man, that guy gets it done, and he does it across the board. I mean, that's why he's winning MVPs, is because he just does so many things well.
Well, his passing is elite. I mean, that sets up really everything else. And their schedule is very manageable throughout the rest of the season. So I'd kind of be surprised if they didn't end up having the best record in the West, and then we'll see what teams can come in there and knock them off during the playoffs. But I think that, for example, if the Warriors are playing in a playoff series against the Nuggets, it's going to be really difficult for them to shoot 57% consistently.
Thunder have they lost to the Rockets earlier this week. They've got the Rockets again at home tomorrow night, and then they're on the road in California. On the West Coast, really, because they play Golden State, the Lakers, and Portland. And the Lakers game, that's one of the two that people are kind of pointing to and saying there's a very strong possibility, you mentioned this a minute ago, that LeBron breaks that record in that game. So we'll see how it plays out. But the Thunder I think the Thunder have a tough month of February.
All Western Conference, the entire month.
You're right.
They don't play another Eastern Conference team until they play Brooklyn in Oklahoma City on March the 14th. That's a weird portion of the schedule.
That's crazy. All right, man. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you on Monday.
All right. Sounds good. See you, Brad.
Thanks, Mark.
Rick and Brad Radio.
On the Cat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.